गज जनंदना जमुन क्षीर बन ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस श्री श्रीमान श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती प्रभुपाद ठाकुर की जय श्रीमान भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द सम ऑफ द गोरीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा So this morning, we're reading from Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 38, Srimad Bhagavatam, and a good morning to everyone, Friday 13. Actually, Prabhupada left for America on Friday the 13th. That's when he boarded the ship, Jaladutta. Left on Friday the 13th, so for us it's a good day. Thanks to Sumati Murarji, thanks to Sally Agarwal for sponsoring Prabhupada. Her husband Gopal couldn't do it because he wasn't a citizen. And let's see, who else? Thanks to Bhakti Siddhanta, his guru, for encouraging him to do this. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Give the screen guy a lot of work today, jumping around. All right, let's see. Yarhya, yarhya laish, vapi satam nahare katashi. Yarhya laish, vapi satam nahare katashi. Yarhyalayeshvapi satam nahare katasyu. And then move down to the word-for-word translation. Yarhi, when it happens, just so you get an understanding of what's going on. This is introducing the final avatar, which is Kalki, who comes at the end of Kali Yuga, when all, what would you call it, all pious, all godly qualities have been diminished practically to nothing. So, this first line is, Yarhi, when it happens, Alayashu, in the residence of Api, even Satam, civilized gentlemen, Na, no, Hare, of the personality of Godhead, Katha, topics. So when it happens that even in the Satam, the civilized Alaya, Alayeshu, Alaya means the homes, so even in the homes of civilized people, there's no harikata, there's no discussion about the Lord. So, three lines, and then the final line says, that's when the supreme chastiser appears. So, go back to the top again. Yarhi, when it happens, alayeshu, in the residences. Yarhyalayeshvapi satam nahare katasyu. Yarhyalayeshvapi satam nahare katasyu. Ashandino dvija jana vrshala nrdeva.
Ashandino dvija jana vrshala nrdeva.
Okay, and down to the synonyms. Pashandina, atheist. Dvija jana, persons declaring themselves to be the higher three classes, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. So when the higher class people are actually Pashandis, they're atheists. And then the second part is Vrishala, the lower class Shudras, become Nrideva, ministers of the government. So when Vrishalas become Nridevas, when Dvija Janas become Pashandis. So back to the Sanskrit again. Pashandino Dvija Jana Vrishala Nrideva.
Pashandino Dvija Jana Vrishala.
Pashandino dvija jana vrishala nrdeva.
Pashandino dvija jana vrishala nrdeva.
Swaha swadha vashaditi smagiro na yatra.
Swaha swadha vashaditi smagiro na yatra.
Swaha swadha vashaditi smagiro na yatra. So in the synonyms, swaha, hymns to perform sacrifices, swadha, the ingredients to perform sacrifices, vasat, the altar of sacrifice, iti, all these, sma, shell, gira, words, na, never, yatra, anywhere. So people don't know about these things, even, no one even talks about them anymore. There's not a trace of these three things, swaha, swadha, and vashat, the altar of sacrifice. Swaha, hymns to perform sacrifices, swadha, vashat. Okay, back to the Sanskrit. Swaha, swadha, vashaditi, smagiro na yatra.
Swaha, swadha, vashaditi, smagiro na yatra.
Shasta, bhavishyat. Shasta bhavishyati kaler bhagavan yugante.
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 Shasta, the chastiser. Bhavishyati will appear. So it doesn't mention the name of Kalki, just Shasta. The chastiser, Bhavishyati, will appear, Kale, of the Kali age, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Yuga Ante, at the end of. So, go ahead, whoever wants to recite.
Shasta bhavishyati
Translation. Thereafter, at the end of Kali Yuga, when there exists no topics on the subject of God, even at the residences of so-called saints and respectable gentlemen of the three higher castes, and when the power of government is transferred to the hands of ministers elected from the low-born Shudra class or those less than them, and when nothing is known of the techniques of sacrifice, even by word, at that time the Lord will appear as the supreme chastiser. Report. The symptoms of the worst conditions of the material world at the last stage of this age called Kali Yuga are stated herein. The sum and substance of such conditions is godlessness. Even the so-called saints and higher castes of the social orders, generally known as the Dvijajanas or the twice-born, will become atheists. As such, all of them will practically forget even the holy name of the Lord and what to speak of his activities. The higher castes of society, namely the intelligent class of men, guiding the destinies of the social orders, the administrative class of men, guiding the law and order of the society, and the productive class of men, guiding the economic development of the society, must all be properly well-versed in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Knowing factually his name, quality, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, and personalities. The saints and the higher castes or orders of the society are judged by their proportion of knowledge in the science of God, or tattva-gyan, and not by any kind of birthright or bodily designations. Such designations, without any knowledge of the science of God and practical knowledge of devotional service, are considered to be all decorations of dead bodies. And when there is too much inflation of these decorated dead bodies in society, there develop so many anomalies in the progressive, peaceful life of the human being. Because of the lack of training or culture in the upper section of the social orders, they are no more to be designated as the Dvijajanas or the twice born. The significance of being twice born has been explained in many places in these great literatures, and again, one is reminded herewith that birth executed by the sex life of the father and the mother is called animal birth. But such animal birth and progress of life on the animal principles of eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating, without any scientific culture of spiritual life, is called the Shudra life, or to be more explicit, the uncultured life of the lower class of men. It is stated herein that the governmental power of society in the Kali Yuga will be passed over to the uncultured, godless, laborer classes of men, and thus the Nirdevas, or the ministers of the government, will be the Vrishalas, or the uncultured, lower class men of society. No one can expect any peace and prosperity in a human society full of uncultured, lower classes of men. The symptoms of such uncultured social animals are already in vogue, and it is the duty of the leaders of men to take note of it and try to reform the social order by introducing the principles of twice-born men trained in the science of God consciousness. This can be done by expanding the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. In the degraded condition of human society, the Lord incarnates as the Kalki avatar and kills all the demonic without mercy. So Prabhupada just puts one sentence about Kalki at the end. That's it. The whole thing is about, this is going on today. The verse, I'll read the verse again. The verse describes how Kali Yuga will progress. Thereafter, at the end of Kali Yuga, when there exist no topics on the subject of God. So, the four ages, there's a gradual diminishing of Dharma. There's the four legs of Dharma, the bull that was standing there with only on one leg. Maharaj Pariksit found that. There's only one leg left in Kali Yuga. So, every yuga, a little bit of diminishing, and then at the end of Kali Yuga, it's going to diminish entirely, almost entirely, because there's still going to be some Brahmin by the name of Vishnu Yasha and his wife Sumati, who will give birth to Kalki in the village of, who knows?
Sambal. But Sambalpur doesn't mean location in India. Sambal means like the culture people. I looked at the meanings.
Oh, okay, yeah. Shambhala. Shambhala doesn't mean...
It could be in Alachua, where the culture people are. It could be in Alachua.
Could be in Alachua. Okay, so let me explain for everybody. Shambhala isn't necessarily a village, a geographic location. It means a place where cultured people are. Good point. Could be Alachua. Wow, that really opens things up. Because I was looking it up, trying to figure out what it is. And it's, how many years off in the future? 427,000. 427,000 years. So we still have, you look at the odometer and, you know, how many more miles to go. 427,000 more miles to go before, it shows you how much gas you have left in your tank. So, 427,000 more years, it's just going to get gradually worse and worse. Prabhupada is pointing out how did he word that? The symptoms of such uncultured social animals are already in vogue. So it's already become, we see some of these things going on. And it is the duty of the leaders of men to take note of it and try to reform the social order by introducing the principles of twice-born men trained in the science of God consciousness. So a few times he uses the word culture in this purport. Let's see. He talks about, well, he says uncultured people. But he's, let's find that. He talks about the higher castes of society, namely the intelligent class of men who guide the destinies of the social orders, the administrative class of men who guide law and order of the society, and the productive class of men who guide the economic development of society. And they must all be properly well-versed in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. And so this is a culture, this is a practice. You can become like this. And that's what he's getting at. There should be systematic teaching, dissemination of this knowledge, and places of culture where these activities go on. And about the word culture, maybe I mentioned this before, but it's worth talking about again. The book distributor, Brihat, what's his name? Bhrigupati. Everybody knows him. He's been distributing books for forever. And he said when he first visited the temple in New York, people were nice to him. The devotees were nice to him. Then he came back again. He met other devotees. They were nice to him. And then he met other devotees. In his next visit, everyone was nice to him. And he thought, well, this is a really good place. He ended up joining. And he said, at no time did someone sit down and tell me, you have to be nice to people. It was just the culture. And so that's how culture works. Everybody is like this. And I thought, wow, this is just such a concise way of describing culture. Bhrigupati, he's so good at it. He comes across really simple, but he's got a deep insight. Oh. So this is the kind of culture. And then, all right, also we have knowledge. Prabhupada talks about knowing factually about knowledge. They must all be properly well-versed in knowledge of the Supreme Lord, knowing factually his name. Okay. And not just knowing, but practicing the culture of taking Krishna's name, understanding what is there. There's that list, Dham, Rup, Guna, Leela. All of those things. Where's that list from?
Parika, which is Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, Parika. And voices, attributes.
Parika.
Associates.
Okay, I usually just hear those four. But
Chaitanya Charitamrita has this.
Okay, it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's in other places too. And Prabhupada,
yes.
It's a recurring theme. And in that verse earlier on in the second canto, Etan Nirvidyamananam Ichyatam Akutu Harinam Anukirtanam. And in there he talks about Vishwanath, his commentary on this, and he says, Nam, Rup, Guna, Leela, by the name, by taking Krishna's name, then you get the quality. You'll understand Krishna's qualities, his forms, Nam, Rupa, Guna, Leela, and then through the name you'll get the pastimes. So he's saying it's not that the name is separate from those things. All of those things are fully present within Krishna's name. So just that one word, knowing factually his name. So we got to pause there on that one. Knowing his name. So all of us were trying, and this is, Prabhupada's not just complaining. There's a saying I read years ago, those that are rocking the boat usually don't do any rowing. You know, people that complain, they don't do anything to help out. They're just complainers. So Prabhupada's complaining, but he's also doing something about it. He's established a whole society of people to study Krishna's name, quality, pastimes, entourage. I mean, most of us wouldn't even know what does entourage mean? It's just because of Prabhupada, it's part of our vocabulary. Entourage means the people that are with Krishna. So we study them. His paraphernalia. And what's some of Krishna's paraphernalia? It's
flute.
Yeah, Mahari's been studying about Krishna's blanket. how, and is carrying one today. She's been hearing all kinds of stories about Krishna's blanket. And there's that song, Radhe Shyam Shyama Shyam Kande Kamara Kare Radhe Shyama Shyama Shyam. So, although, how's that one begin? Although he's Yadurai, he's the king of the Yadus, but still he's wandering in the pasturing ground carrying a blanket. So the blanket has all kinds of stories.
Mirrors. Krishna's mirrors.
Krishna's mirrors. Okay, yeah, we're going to go off on a big tangent.
His staff.
Hmm?
His staff.
His staff, yes. Krishna's mirrors. All right, one little mirror story. Go ahead. Do you want to?
Peacock feathers.
Peacock feather. All right, so paraphernalia and personalities of the Supreme Lord. So other types of personalities. Krishna appears in all of these different avatars. That's what's being discussed here in this chapter. In all of the avatars, they show a little tiny bit of Krishna's personality. Just a little bit. It's kind of like you see the crescent moon, and then it gets bigger, the quarter moon, then the half a moon. Just a little bit of aspect of the moon, it grows and grows, and then the full moon is Krishna. Krishna is showing all of the qualities. Lord Ram, he shows a lot of qualities. Krishna in Dwarka is perfect, fully perfect. But then Krishna in Mathura is even more perfect. And then in Vrindavan, he is most perfect. So these are the kind of things that should be talked about by people in the higher castes of society. And that's a big thing that Prabhupada has worked on. He says many times there's ample subject matter to discuss. So he's saying, always read and discuss. He says that over and over again. And about reading and discussing, you can get really good at it. I mean, whatever you understand, you practice sharing it with whoever you're with. And then when you get really good at it, you practice sharing it with kids in a way that kids can understand it. Or just somebody that you happen to meet. I know someone is telling me how he got real excited reading that verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Yari Deke, Tare Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, whoever, wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them something about Krishna. Then the next line says, because this is Lord Chaitanya speaking to someone while he was wandering around, he stayed at someone's house overnight, and then he's on his way. Okay, I'm a sannyasi, I just travel, I move. And that person said, I'm going to leave my family. I want to come with you. I feel so good around you. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I want you to stay here. Yare deke, wherever you go. Tare kaha, yare deke, whoever you see, wherever you go. Krishna upadesh. Amara gyaya guru tarahanidesh. And on my order, you become a guru and you deliver this place. Stay right here where you are with your circle of people. The next verse says that the Vishaya Taranga, the waves of Vishaya, the waves of sense objects in the material world, they won't bother you. Vishaya Taranga. And then the next line says, instead, if you act like this, Pabe Mora Sangha, you will always have my association. You always have my Sangha. So this friend of mine was really excited. He said, I'm going to try that out. I'm going to do that. And he got into the habit of wherever he goes, whoever he meets, he just found some way to present. And you don't have to say Krishna or, you know, Srila Prabhupada said this. You just say some wisdom that you got from this. You put it in your own words. You explain it to them. And those people go get something from it. And he said, after doing this for a while, people come to expect that from him. And some people, they see him from a distance, and like, there's that guy. I'm going over there. I want to hear what that guy has. Just like Mahara goes around passing out sweets. When people see her, it's like, oh, there's the lady with the sweets. And they walk over to her. Or Shivananda, original Shivananda, he would get all of the vegetable scraps, the cauliflower bottoms and stuff like that, and he'd take them out to the cows. Whenever the cows would see Shivananda, they'd come running to him. So if you get really good at talking about Krishna in a way that can reach people, people are going to come running to you. They're going to see, this person has something. I like it. Just like the cows come running for snacks from Shivananda or snacks from Mahara. I give people a little snack. And after a while, they're going to wonder, like, well, where do you get all this from? And then, and that opens up a window. And we can take people really far down the road. That's the trick, is give people a little snack. And if you build up their appetite, then we can take you way down the road. We've got so many books. And you sit down and read the books with them and help open that up. And so even among devotees, we get practiced at reading and sharing. And whenever you find a little nugget of something good, then work it into the conversation somehow. So at the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada says, the sum and substance of such conditions is godlessness. And that's a term Prabhupada uses a lot, too. How much time do we have? Okay, we're doing pretty good. I got... that's like the broad view, godlessness. And so what does godlessness look like? What is it? What is it that brings this about? There is, after Krishna left the world, I didn't get a chance to look that one up. In the first canto, I think it's the earth in the form of a cow is lamenting, saying, I used to be so fortunate. Krishna was walking around on me with his feet. And his other devotees, he would leave them at times, but he never left me. So I was always feeling his feet. So now that he's gone, I'm feeling the absence much stronger than anybody else. It's like his mother, he would go out to tend the cows, and she felt, so she kind of, it hurt, but then she came back, so she became accustomed to that. So the earth, that's her point of view. I always had him on me. Now he's gone. With him have gone, and then she gives a long list of godly qualities. Anyone remember anything from that list? In him reside all of these godly qualities. So it's a long list. It's in the first canto. And then another list of godly qualities are given in the beginning of chapter 16, which compares godly and demonic qualities. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, we read a lot about tolerance, seeing everything equally. But then, within chapter 16, Krishna says, this is good, this is bad. There are several places where he says, you look at everything equally. Nothing's good, nothing's bad. It's just all material. But then at this point he says, this is godly, this is godless. Which is a closer translation of asura. You have sura, godly, asura, godless. But usually asura is translated as demonic. So the godly qualities given in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, who would like to recite just one of them besides you guys? We'll save you guys for that. Chapter 16. Beginning of chapter 16. Anybody?
Cleanliness,
yeah. Okay.
Truthfulness.
Flattery. Okay, truthfulness, twice, double truthfulness. Because that's the last leg that's standing in Kali Yuga.
Patience.
People can break the other three principles, but if you're not truthful in Kali Yuga, people are like, that guy's not truthful. People might not be austere or clean or... what's the other one?
Austere,
clean, merciful.
Merciful.
But if you're not truthful, can't listen to that guy. But even that one's shaking. Okay, you want to recite chapter 16, the first one? Yes.
It's like 5 verses.
Yeah. Well, give the first line. Uh-huh. Abhayam, fearlessness. Sakvasanu shuddhi. Yeah, okay, right there. Purification of one's existence. So throughout chapter 16, did you find the list?
Also the other thing on the list. Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti means daily study. If you look at the purport, I remember Prabhupada says, one should do daily sadhana. This is what sattva samshuddhi. Purification means daily sadhana.
Sattva samshuddhi, purification.
Sattva means fearless. Fearless in a sense that Krishna is going to protect me.
Yes.
I'm always with Krishna by chanting. That is what fear is. Sattva samshuddhi. Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. He has to hear every day Prabhupada say, and he has to speak.
Yes. So the sum and substance of chapter 16 is a godly person will take it upon themselves to improve themselves. Sattva samshuddhi. They'll take that on. And yeah, there's a lot of other things. The rest of the chapter is about the godless people, how they act. And yes, and that's part of it. To accept an authority, to accept I can grow, I can improve. Whereas the godless person says, I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. So a godly person says, I need some help. Sattva samshuddhi. They want to purify their existence. Jnana yoga, vyavasthiti. So they're practicing, they're developing more knowledge about yoga, jnana yoga, vyavasthiti. He starts off the description of the godless people as arrogant, pride, anger, conceit, harshness, and ignorance. These are the characteristics of godless people. Arrogance, pride, anger, conceit, harshness, and ignorance. So when you're around something and it doesn't feel right, and you can look at that list, okay, some of these people are arrogant. That's why. Okay. That's why it doesn't feel good. So we want to avoid that. So this chapter is given so we can recognize this is godly, this is godless. Stay away from this. Embrace this. And, okay, I want to try to get all of this in. So toward the end of this purport, the symptoms of such uncultured social animals. So there's that culture word again. He says that you should take up the culture. But if you don't, then you can't put yourself in the three higher castes of society. You are a vrishala, which is way down there. So by culture, and so Prabhupada is opening this up. He's saying it doesn't matter what kind of birth you've got, what kind of family you've taken birth in. This culture is open for everyone. Prabhupada's really rocking the boat. He's rocking the boat of the so-called cultured people. And he's saying, you're not cultured. you're not practicing what you're supposed to practice. If you don't practice this, you are lowborn. You are... This is pretty bold. A lot of people protested against that. People, high-born people, people in these so-called high-birth families. And he said, you people who weren't born in those kind of families, if you take up the culture, you're actually better than them. This really shook up the whole social fabric, which had become corrupted through time, and Prabhupada points that out again and again, that it's from training. Because of the lack of training or culture in the upper section of these social orders, they are no more to be designated as the Dvija Janas or the twice born. He's boldly speaking out, like, whoa, who is this guy? Who is he to say that? And he'll say, it's not me saying it. It's right there. Narada Muni says it. And who else? He points out all the places in Shastra, and every time it comes up in the Bhagavatam, he says, here, it's proof. The significance of being twice born has been explained in many places in these great literatures. And again, one is reminded herewith that birth executed by the sex life of the father and mother is called animal birth. But such animal birth and progress of life on the animal principles of eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating, without any scientific culture, there's the culture word again, of spiritual life is called the Shudra life, or to be more explicit, the uncultured life of the lower class of men. That's how we distinguish who's upper or lower class, is through the culture, the practice. And Prabhupada's giving this away. Anybody can take it and just take it up. Pass it along. And no one can expect any peace and prosperity in a human society full of uncultured lower classes of men. There's the culture word again. So for him, culture is a noun. Prabhupada is, we're going to culture society. It's like you warm up the milk and put the yogurt culture in, it all turns into yogurt. So we're going to culture society and make everyone cultured and pure and godly. He's got this great big ambition to do that. And that's what I'm going to read about here. I've got some notes here about how he said we're going to do it. The symptom of such uncultured social animals are already in vogue, and it is the duty of the leaders of men to take note of it and try to reform the social order by introducing the principles of twice-born men trained in the science of God consciousness. So he's saying the leaders should take this up, they should understand it, and they should try to reform the social order by introducing the principles of twice-born men. This can be done by expanding the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. So he starts off with this problem. He gives a vague idea, like, it's because of godlessness, and so we got to culture people, and where's this culture going to come from? He says, I got all the answers. It's really specific. It's right here in the Bhagavatam. That's what we're going to do. This can be done by expanding the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. In the degraded condition of human society, the Lord incarnates as the Kalki avatar and kills all the demonic without mercy. So some people might say, it's Kali Yuga. It's going to happen anyway. Why should we push against it? And so Prabhupada has something to say about that. In the first canto, chapter 16, text 10, there's a verse. While Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military activities. So this is beginning of Kali Yuga. As soon as he heard about it, the leader said, we're going to do something about it. And that's what Prabhupada's talking about. And he talks about it over and over again. Whenever he talks about leaders... Anyway, that's a whole other topic. How are we going to do this? I'll just keep reading. So, here's what Prabhupada says about that verse. A perfect Kshatriya king is always jubilant as soon as he gets a chance to fight, just as a sportsman is eager when there is a chance for a sporting match. It is no argument that in the age of Kali such symptoms are predestined. If so, then why was there preparation for fighting out such symptoms? Okay, so that's a valid question. If they're predestined, why not just let it go? Such arguments are offered by lazy and unfortunate men. That's Prabhupada's opinion. Lazy and unfortunate. Which, that's on the list of qualities of people in Kali Yuga. Toilsome, lazy, misguided, unfortunate, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Such arguments are offered by lazy and unfortunate men. In the rainy season, rain is predestined, and yet people take precautions to protect themselves. Similarly, in the age of Kali, the symptoms, as above mentioned, are sure to infiltrate into social life. But it is the duty of the state to save the citizens from the association of the agents of the age of Kali. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to punish the miscreants indulging in the symptoms of Kali, and thus save the innocent citizens who are pure in habit by culture of religion. It is the duty of the king to give such protection, and Maharaj Parikshit was perfectly right when he prepared himself to fight. So this is Prabhupada's mood from the very beginning when he's translating Srimad Bhagavatam. He was in India, sitting in the Radha Damodar, his little room in the Radha Damodar temple, looking at Rupa Goswami's samadhi. And said, I'm going to do this. And so he's writing purports, calling people in the higher class, you're uncultured. You've only taken animal birth. You haven't taken second birth. How can you call yourself Dvija? You haven't been trained in the culture. And yes, we're going to... So the government, with government help, and Prabhupada throughout his work when he came to America, he was speaking to government leaders, speaking to all kinds of leaders, saying, why don't you... When the first Rath Yatra happened in New York City, went to Washington Square Park, and they had the big festival there, and there were all kinds of favorable newspaper articles, and it was so favorable, Prabhupada said, why don't you ask them to allow us to build a temple right in the center of Washington Square Park? And everyone laughed, but Prabhupada was serious. It's like, yes, we've done good. People are appreciating this. Why not? They should let us. And when he read the article about crime, why and what to do, when he arrived in Chicago, he was speaking to, spoke to the mayor of Evanston, I think it was, and also Lieutenant Mosey from the police department. We can solve the crime problem. He was convinced we can do this. Just allow us to distribute prasadam and have kirtan. That's it. Magic formula. He said, look what I've been doing with all of these young boys and girls. I've taken them away from their hippie drug habits, and now they're living such a pure life. I can do this. It's worked with them. I can do this with the whole world. Just give me some facility. Give me that building across the street. So what kind of leaders are going to be able to influence the citizens? Now this is, I got some reading, I hope you don't mind. But these are really good little stories. This is from the fourth canto. After Prithu, King Prithu sees the Lord, he's offering prayers to him, and the Lord is about to leave, but seeing how much love Prithu has for him, He can't leave. And Prithu, seeing the Lord staying there still, he's just like swooning in ecstasy. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, even a responsible king like Maharaj Prithu can become a pure devotee of the first order. We can distinctly see from King Prithu's behavior how he became ecstatic both externally and internally in pure devotional service. So he's saying, because of that, he's able to influence the citizens. We need someone that is in that realm of ecstasy. Just today, Prabhupada writes, we have seen in the newspapers of Bombay that the government is going to repeal its prohibition laws. Ever since Gandhi's non-cooperation movement, Bombay has been kept dry and has not allowed its citizens to drink. But unfortunately, the citizens are so clever that they have increased illicit distillation of liquor, and although not being sold publicly in shops, liquor is being sold in public lavatories and similar abominable places. Unable to check such illicit smuggling, the government has decided to manufacture the liquor at cheaper prices so that people can have their supply of intoxication directly from the government instead of purchasing it in public lavatories. Okay, now here's the point. The government failed to change the hearts of the citizens from indulging in sinful life. So instead of losing the taxes they collect to inflate the treasury, they have decided to manufacture liquor to supply to the citizens who hanker after it. So the government's unable to change the hearts of the citizens. So they just give in. All right, go ahead. At least we get the tax money. This kind of government cannot check the resultant actions of sinful life, namely war, pestilence, famine, earthquakes, and similar other disturbances. Nature's law is that as soon as there are discrepancies in regard to the law of God, at once there will be heavy punishment in the form of sudden outbreaks of war. These are the reactions of sinful life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to make people pure and perfect. If we become even partially pure, as described in the Bhagavatam, Nasta Praeshwa Bhadreshu, by development of Krishna consciousness, then lust and greed, the material diseases of the citizens, will be reduced. So that was Prabhupada's prayer when he first arrived in America. He said, who am I? How am I going to be able to influence these people? But he was praying to Krishna, your words in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I have faith in them. They are going to purify these people. And he recites this verse, Nasta Parayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Just by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing Bhagavatam, Abhadreshu, everything that's impure in the heart will be gradually reduced. This can be made possible simply by broadcasting the pure message of Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna consciousness. Okay, now here's another point. Big commercial and industrial firms have contributed many thousands of rupees to a defense fund that burns the money in the form of gunpowder. But unfortunately, if they are asked to contribute liberally to advance the Krishna consciousness movement, they are reluctant. Under the circumstances, the world will periodically suffer from such upsurges and outbreaks of war, which are the consequences of not being Krishna conscious. So, again, he's giving a reference. Big industries, wealthy people, they should support this movement. But instead, they're supporting war efforts. They're spending money for gunpowder. And this is, Prabhupada's got this conviction that this is the only thing that's going to purify, rectify people's consciousness. The reason all of these problems are happening, here again it says, the sum and substance of such conditions is godlessness. So, bring in Srimad Bhagavatam, solves all the problems. Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Remember that chapter? So how are we going to... Oh man, we're running out of time. Getting to the best part. How are we going to do this? Prabhupada was on a was riding the train to the Allahabad Kumbh Mela festival in 1977, Rameshwar asked him, should we be thinking in our minds that one day the Krishna consciousness movement will manage the cities and nations of the world? Oh yes, Prabhupada replied. Rameshwar asked how the devotees could accomplish it. The management would be simplified, Prabhupada explained, since the citizens would live a pure natural life. Thus, the burdensome, sinful aspects of godless government would become unnecessary, and so many complex problems would be solved. Only by education and by experiencing the higher taste of Krishna conscious pleasure, he said, could the masses become satisfied with simple living. Rameshwar asked if America could become Krishna conscious by a minority of Krishna conscious persons becoming powerful in government while the masses remained as karmis. No, Prabhupada replied. You can introduce Krishna consciousness in such a way that they will become devotees. Is everybody following? It's the game plan. You can introduce Krishna consciousness in such a way that they will become devotees. Suppose in big factories, we shall introduce this prasadam distribution and chanting. They will immediately become devotees. Their hearts will be cleansed. Chetodarpanam arjanam. This is the same thing Prabhupada said about, we can solve the crime problem with prasadam and kirtan. So he's saying, suppose we go to the factories, we distribute prasadam, we have kirtans. Again, he's talking about the three upper classes. Factories are run by the Vaishyas, the mercantile class. We can use their support. But they need training so they can recognize it. Rameshwar asked, but will it be like Russia, where there is only a small group of people who are in control? No, it is not like that. The quality of the people will be changed. So that means only when the mass of population becomes Krishna conscious, Rameshwar suggested, then there will be Krishna conscious government. No, Prabhupada corrected. You can have government when you are in minority. But the mass of people, on account of this quality, they have to see the example. Okay, one more little thing to read. So that was Prabhupada on his way to the Kumbh Mela. It was really cold there. They were in a tent. Rameshwar stayed up all night with Prabhupada lighting the heater, trying to keep him warm. And the wind blew through the tent, blew the flame out. Prabhupada didn't sleep. He had the dictation machine there, but he didn't touch it. He just sat there with all of the clothes that he had on. Couldn't sleep. It was too cold. Couldn't translate. And the devotees were saying, let's go somewhere else. You're not able to translate. Your health, his hands were swelling up, his feet were swelling up, he was coughing. And devotees were scared. They'd never seen Prabhupada look so ill. And he said, thousands of people are coming here. I want to see them. And Rameshwar said, but you're not translating your books. If you translate your books, I promise we will publish these books and millions of people will see your books. You'll be able to speak to millions of people. So that got Prabhupada's attention. He said, all right, let's go. So then they went to Bhubaneswar. And during that time, each of the GBCs was taking a one-month term to be with Prabhupada, to be his secretary. And so that was Rameshwar's turn. Then Satsarup took his turn, and he met Prabhupada in Bhubaneswar. So one evening, while sitting with Prabhupada in his quarters, Satsarup asked, when I first came here, Rameshwar said, you have been speaking of how Krishna consciousness would rise to power in the United States. And I find it hard to have that vision, since now it is just the opposite. It is true, said Prabhupada, but now it has only taken its roots. You have to water and protect it. Then you will get fruit. You have to give it protection. People must hear about us by our books. And we have to talk about the books. So it will not happen overnight. No, said Srila Prabhupada, gradually it will grow. The seed is there. Now protect it by introducing more and more books in every house. So Satsarup Das Goswami was our GBC at that time, and so he came back from India and told us about these things, and so we got to hear it while it was fresh. And I remember this statement, somehow I remembered it a little different. People must hear about us by our books, and we have to talk about the books. So the way I remember was, preach from the books, preach about the books. Anyway, same thing. So whenever I'm talking to people, I try to keep it focused on the books. Because if they get an attraction for the books, then, yeah, if you say something brilliant and people hear it, like, oh, that's really, really cool. And then you say, yeah, it came from this book over here on this page. And these books are, oh boy. Also at this time was the court case against saying that the Hare Krishna movement is brainwashing. And Prabhupada was saying so many really fun things about that. He says, you accuse us of brainwashing. I say, I accuse you of having no brains to wash. We have to first give you brains. We are not a brainwashing movement. We are a brain-giving movement. You people don't even know who you are. You don't know the first thing about who you are, what life is for. You say there's no purpose to life. And he was telling the devotees how to counter that. It was a court case. He was looking forward to the court case dragging on for years. He said, this is really good. He said, when we're fighting, this is an opportunity for us to get into the public arena and to get support, to get noticed by people. He said, Krishna didn't get famous by sitting in his mother's lap. But as soon as he killed Putana, and he went down the list, Krishna was fighting his whole life. That's what made him famous. So we become famous by fighting. He was like really happy when there was an opportunity to fight, just like Maharaj Pariksit. He's so identified with Maharaj Pariksit. As soon as a Kshatriya sees an opportunity to fight, we can do something about it now. Why did I bring that up? Oh, and he said, and you give them all of our books, and you tell them, you have to read our books. That is our case. This is the evidence for our side. And Satsarup asked him, is there a specific area that they should read? Prabhupada cut in, no, all books, every line. You have to read the whole thing. And then Prabhupada told a story about there was a court case where the attorney had brought in a lot of books to present to the court. And the judge said, oh, he jokes, you brought in the whole library. And the lawyer said, yes, to teach you law, my lord. And Prabhupada laughed. And he said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go into the court case. And again, Prabhupada repeated that, to teach you law, my lord. Really liked that one. We're going to teach you. You guys don't know anything. We're brain-giving. all right. So, oh, a couple minutes over. I'm sorry. Are there any questions?
So, stated that by the end of the age, most people will become atheists. But even presently now, I mean, like in Europe, you have a great percentage of atheists already. You're talking about like 40%, you know? Yeah, and this is just 5,000 years into Kali. You're talking about 427,000 years. So we can imagine the degradation that will come. So my question is, what is the cause of this degradation? I mean, we had the other ages and so, but there was nothing like in Kali. But what's really the cause of this great degradation?
I'm going to open that up to you guys. Anybody want to address that? What is the cause for the degradation? Yes, Professor.
Fulfill the desires of living entities. Kali Yuga is to fulfill the desires of people who want to go nuts.
Okay.
I mean, you can't get all crazy like this and stop yoga. Now's your time to have fun, so-called.
All right, so that's one idea. Krishna is fulfilling the desires. But for some reason, everybody now is wanting to...
Well, it's just the time to still... You can go to the lower planets, I suppose, at any time. But, you know, it's just, you're just cycling through and giving it... Look, I mean, if you're a devotee, it's a great time to become Krishna conscious. I mean, we'd have to be going through all kinds of austerities and stuff, yoga. So there's upside all over the place that you're looking for.
All right. Interesting thoughts. I don't know if that really... Did that satisfy your question?
Well, it's part of it, but I was thinking, like,
just the atmosphere itself is so saturated with so much impurities, ignorance and passion, you know, and that by itself influenced the mind of even good men, you know? So I think that, and then, you know, of course, the people themselves, I mean, you know, you more, there'd be more people steeped in ignorance than in goodness. And that would rub on to the good people, you know. So,
yes. Yeah. So it's a culture. But I guess that still doesn't answer it. Where did that culture come from? Why did it come about? But as you said, it's the age. It's supposed to happen.
Well, I mean, where did the culture come from? I mean, it's from Christians. I mean, from our perspective, we're here. It's a culture. We're from Christian perspective. You're just fulfilling all desires. I mean, you're born into various cultures.
We kind of get locked in, like, I know I did. We all, you know, this life is a real thing. Maybe there was some previous existences, I guess. But, I mean, this is a long flow, and Krishna's fully aware of our long journey, and he's guiding us directly, indirectly, to places where we can work it out. So, you know, I mean, even on this planet, what difference from his perspective if we're born here, or in Africa, or in Asia? You know, we're just born someplace to work it out, fulfill desires, you know. And then if we get challenged, that's good too. You know, I'm a good person and there's a bad influence, and so you've got to dig deeper.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everything from Krishna's perspective is working one-on-one with everybody. It's not like he's just tossing you over there, hey, Bozo, go to America, you know, good luck. You know, he's right there, you know, working personally with everybody. Build desires, work it through it. So where's it come from? Blame Krishna. You really want to blame somebody, I guess.
All right, yes. And there may be two choices, and like, for some reason, I choose this instead of this, just because that's what I like. And this may be good, it may be bad. So we're individuals, you know, for some reason, more leaning this way, and can still be steered back this way. If we're in a culture where everybody's going this way, then, okay, I'll ride along with it. Or maybe you're the kind of stubborn person that's like, everybody's going that way, I'm going this way. And sometimes you can get people like that by saying, everybody's going that way. Let's go this way. And that can appeal to some people. And then sometimes you could say, everybody's going this way. Let's go. This is the way to go. Another thing to address your question, Prabhupada says, there is systematic propaganda against the glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. This is early on in the first canto, and so he says, we have to make counter-propaganda. So, it's a propaganda war. Yes?
Yes, speaking of culture, and in line with Stitadi's point, The people in this age will begin to, those who are more inclined will begin to see the intolerant, they'll be not able to tolerate as things get more degraded, some, and therefore they will really be welcoming an alternative, which if we're out there, we'll be able to offer that. Mm-hmm. But an example is right here on 441 is a car dealer. He's just taken over that place maybe in the last 2 years at the most. And he says most of his customers, well, maybe half or so, are devotees. And he has really come around. Of course, I've been taking him to Sodom, and we did get a car from him. But he says the devotees, when other people come in here and I ask, how you doing? They start unloading their garbage. It's just like so unpleasant. But when he says that to devotees, he says there's just a whole nother mood of, they're so peaceful, they're so intelligent and wise. So he's really experiencing the contrast. And therefore, he's reading the books. He wants to know more about Prabhupada. He saw the movie. You know, I've just been... And so we're going to meet also. I said, just write down all your questions. And we'll, you know... we'll meet with his wife and him, you know, and he's even telling his wife, you know, there's a little bit strange about them, but there's something really special that I want. He says, I don't want to take birth again. Now he's starting to, you know, conclude that even, you know. So I want to know how not to take birth again.
Wow, that's good to hear. And I just had a really wild idea. I'm just going to throw this out. I was just thinking, as we get older, we get tired and slower and, you know, at different levels, but it's guaranteed. So maybe these four ages, as time gets older, it gets tired and Dharma just starts to dwindle. If you don't hold it up, if you don't do things to hold it up, it starts falling down. And as we get older, we got to work harder to stay youthful. And so as Kali Yuga goes on, we have to work harder to keep Dharma. I just threw that out. I never heard that before. It's just an idea. I'm open for discussion on that, but we got to close pretty soon. Yeah. Is that a question? Or just stretching. Staying youthful. How did this godlessness come about? Why is it coming about?
This is a Kali Yuga, just like you said. When it's winter, you're going to ask where the cold came from. It's the next.
It's
nature.
Seasonal. Yes.
You're talking of the verse that Krishna Swadhamu Pagate Dharma Gyan Adiji Saha. This is also Krishna is took away everything when he left his planet. The Dharma Gyan Adiji Saha. He took everything back to his abode. But I will tell him the answer. Pranarko Vinodita. This is the light that came. So it's not unusual to find ignorance in Kali Yuga. This is the nature of the age. Just like the cold is natural in the winter season.
You summed up the whole discussion in one shloka. That was really good.
Persons with a little intelligence to put on the warm clothes and keep themselves warm in the winter.
All right. I think we've used up our time. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Thank you for your attention.